Welcome back to another episode of the Weekly Trash Recap Podcast. I'm Joe from B1029, and as always, we have Schuyler from B1029, and we are recapping and discussing some of the big entertainment stories from the week of January 30th. And just to start right now, we had the Grammys here just this past Sunday. Couple of takeaways, Beyonce. If there was going to be anyone that was going to set a record, my bet would have been Beyonce or Taylor Swift. And Beyonce obviously did it because she set the new Grammy record for most Grammys by any artist in their career. She's at, I think, 32 is a new record. The previous was held by a Hungarian conductor who had 31 Grammy wins during their career. And now she has 32 when she won for Best Electronic Dance Album with her album Renaissance. And it was a huge shock to her. She actually missed like the first half because she was stuck in traffic.
Yeah, is that not the most LA thing ever?
I know. I'm trying to get to my award show.
Yes, exactly. That's like, I'm Beyonce, dang it.
And I mean, the Grammys, there are 91 Grammy Awards given out, and obviously they don't televise all of it. I mean, that's a lot of awards. But yeah, she won four last night, and so with her fourth win, she now holds the record for most Grammys in her career. So that is pretty cool. That's a really awesome feat for Beyonce.
Yeah, it is incredible and very deserved.
Yeah. Also last night during the Grammys, Chris Brown not happy.
Chris Brown was not happy. Oh God.
Oh boy. Yeah, he was nominated for Best R&B Album, and the winner went to Robert Glasper. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't know who Robert Glasper was.
Which is understandable. I mean, he's a little more, he's a very different vibe than Chris Brown. Not as mainstream, not as hip hop and pop, but just still an incredible talent as he is.
Yeah. And so after it was announced, Chris Brown decided to go ahead and vent his anger on social with, bro, who the F is this?
Yes.
Who the F is Robert Glasper?
So cringy. I mean, it's just giving very much sore loser energy.
Yeah.
I understand being frustrated and being upset, but I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, look, whatever happened to it's an honor just to be nominated.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and let's be real. Let's be real. How many of these award shows do we ever get the final list of winners and go, yep, every single one checks out?
Yeah.
We've been doing this with award shows for years. Music and art is all subjective, and you're not going to please everybody. Your favorite song isn't going to be song of the year just because you think it's the best song. Like, it's just, that's just not how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chris Brown definitely not happy. Also, another shock to fans, it was a visual one for that. Madonna was out to introduce Sam Smith and Kim Petras for their performance of Unholy, and when she came out, I don't know what Madonna has done recently to herself. I think she just doesn't want to accept that she's aging. I mean, she's 67.
Okay,
she's,
I'm so
in her
sorry
60s.
I had to look. I'm on the computer right now. I had to look it up because I missed seeing her. But I just looked up the picture, and if you had a gun to my head and was like, "Who is this woman? You know her. She's very famous." I would not be able to tell you.
Oh,
that doesn't even look like Madonna.
No.
No.
I mean, for one thing, her face is super puffed out.
Yes.
And it just, I mean, mostly she had like a mask on or something.
This is one of those like botched situations.
Yes.
Like she looks like she's been botched.
And I mean, she's going on tour later this year. And so, yeah, I mean, people went to on social media like, what happened to Madonna's face? I mean, it was just, I don't know what was going on there. But yeah, so man, yeah, that was a shock for a lot of people to see that.
Oh my gosh. That it's sad, really. I mean,
oh, I know it is. Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I've talked to my husband and been like, I kind of want to get Botox. I kind of want to have my lips done. Like, I've flirted with the idea of it, but he's always been against it. 'Cause he's like, no, like, I mean, you do what you want, but like, I love you the way you are. And I think you're beautiful. Like, you don't need to do anything crazy to your face. And this is a really good moment, really good, like a learning moment, teachable moment that, you know, maybe we shouldn't be so vain all the time. That, you know, if we can, it can, there can be an obsession to want to look like you did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but that's just not how humans work.
No,
we age.
That's we age. And
we,
you know,
leave
what?
Evidence of life on our faces and our skin. I mean, it's just a part of life.
And some age better than others. So you either got them or you don't. The good genes.
I would rather age like my grandmother, who never had any kind of plastic surgery done, than age like Madonna. I'll be completely honest.
Yes.
I'd rather be wrinkly and freckled than stretched and bloated like this.
Yes.
This is not a good look for Madonna. Ooh. I feel horrible for her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I hope she feels beautiful, but I don't think that.
Or at least get her money back. Oh man.
Yeah. No kidding. Did you hear somebody yell Beyonce at Harry Styles when he won Album of the Year?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Somebody. So he was giving his speech saying that, you know, it's important for us to remember that there is no such thing as best in music. Like, we're just all very happy to be here kind of thing. And someone screamed out Beyonce in his speech.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he outed himself on Twitter. He's a journalist from Philadelphia. His name's Ernest Owens, and he literally tweeted about it.
Really? So why?
Just a Kanye West moment from a super fan,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, jeez. Do we really need to do that?
Well, I understand, you know, wanting your favorite artist to win, but like, I mean, like Harry said, you know, there's no such thing as best in music. Like, we're all just doing what we love and we appreciate them doing it. So it's like, we're all just should be happy.
That is, yeah, more cringiness. I don't get it. So another thing that actually happened last week, in case you missed it, Alec Baldwin and the armor from Rust, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, were formally charged with involuntary manslaughter. They're each facing two counts and up to 5 years in prison if they're found guilty. We're finding more kind of about what happened. Hannah Gutierrez Reed, again, the armor from Rust. I've read some things where apparently she's kind of new. She's not very seasoned in her role. And one of the things that I read was that there was an actual weapons training that was supposed to be an hour, but allegedly only lasted a half hour. And allegedly during this training, Baldwin was on his phone and talking to his family and really wasn't paying attention during this training. And Gutierrez also claims that she wanted more, to have more training, but apparently no, wasn't going to happen.
Who said no?
I don't know if Baldwin said no or if it was just overall denied. That's where I'm not quite 100% on.
Yeah, but if it was like a budget thing or a production thing, or if it was Baldwin saying he didn't want to be there.
Right, but you know, we talked about this a couple episodes ago in our weekly trash recap podcast. We spent more time on this as far as checks and balances and making sure that proper training is done. Well, it kind of proper training. I mean, look, if you're going to handle a weapon, I don't think a half hour to an hour is enough time. I really don't. If you're going to be doing this. And so, it appears, at least according to Gutierrez Reed, that Baldwin just didn't really care to be there, or didn't feel like, I mean, didn't seem like he was invested. That's according to her. We'll see as when the trial starts, if it's true or not. But if it does turn out to be true, then that can almost be counted as, you know, being reckless with a weapon.
I mean, yes, but like, I kind of understand. I mean, obviously, like, accountability is accountability and we have to have it in this scenario. But I mean, thinking about like us, I mean, compared to, you know, Alec Baldwin having to do a weapons training course before shooting a movie would be kind of like us needing to do a, you know, a some sort of, you know, podcast software or, you know, refresher kind of meeting, right, training session before recording every episode of the podcast. You know, it would be kind of like redundant. So I wonder if, you know, maybe in that moment he's like, I know how to, I mean, I've been doing this for 30, 40 years now. Like, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. And he maybe didn't pay attention in the class or in the training session, because it kind of would be annoying having to, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's when you've been doing this as long as he has. But ultimately, it kind of proves that you still need those training sessions before every single project, even if it is an annoying refresher, because it can still happen.
Yeah, and obviously it has. So I don't know if the I didn't see if the trial date has been set, but obviously those two have been charged. Also, I believe the director has also had a charge against, and he's pleading no contest.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, yeah, it's. I don't see that film getting ever released.
I know, that's, yeah. Yeah, I mean, don't know about that.
I think it's probably best just to shelve it. So. All right, moving on to this one was kind of this one has caused some people to speculate and doing a little bit of digging if you didn't catch it. So Jessica Simpson published a short story called Movie Star, They Always Say They're Single. And in it, she talks about kind of a rough patch between she and Nick Lachey before they got divorced. So Nick and Jessica were on a alleged break, mm-hmm, during the 2001 MTV VMAs. And that's when she talks about how there was, and she never says who this celebrity is by name in the short story. She calls him like the mystery A-lister and things like that. So at the 2001 MTV VMAs, Jessica says that there was this A-lister, quote, undressing me with his eyes.
Oh.
And notes that the actor was wearing jeans and a T-shirt.
Okay? At the awards show?
At the awards show.
Oh, okay.
This is the MTV VMAs. I mean, let's be for real here. I mean, you could probably show up in this
T-shirt.
You could show up at that in a bathing suit and no one would care.
Do not give the Kardashians any ideas.
I'm sure it's been done.
Yeah,
so
no kidding.
Also, Simpson called, like, and obviously she was very flattered by this and mentioned that, I guess, that the star would, I guess, gave her his number, and she called it kind of like a teenage fantasy of hers. Okay.
Interesting.
So I guess he was a little older. Okay. So anyway, fast forward to 2006, she and Nick get divorced, and then claims that she and this actor had a kiss. And so at the time, the actor claims that his current relationship with his girlfriend was, quote, completely over. And so they met up and they would hang out, I guess, like at clubs and even on set at movies. And she realized that this relationship isn't good as far as she's concerned. She said she remembers feeling like being the call girl for this actor, saying that he would only call her when he was wanting to hook up. And at the point where she realized it was the actor was going to meet up, but she had to take the private entrance to this hotel and like the fire escape stairs just to avoid being seen by the actor's girl.
Oh no.
Yeah. So,
So the relationship wasn't over.
No, that's the thing. And
she
was just
kind of a side piece?
Yes, and that's where Jessica's like, look, the actor told me that the relationship was over. Turned to find out it's not.
Look, I don't care what A-list celebrity you are not going to sneak Jessica Simpson. Like, she, that's so disrespectful.
I know, right?
The arrogance of this mystery man.
Yes. So now that my computer's frozen over here.
Oh gosh, sorry.
You know, this seems to be a recurring theme when we're trying to get into these subjects. But anyway, so Page Six potentially may have figured out who the mystery man is.
Oh no.
They believe that the mystery man that Jessica Simpson is talking about is none other than Mark Wahlberg. Now, here's how they figured this out. He was at the MTV VMAs. He was, you know, he was an A-list star at the time. He was wearing jeans and a t-shirt at the event, which is what she described him wearing. He also is very open that he spoke to a spiritual advisor about her. Or I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Jessica Simpson says in her thing that he was speaking to a spiritual advisor about her. And Mark being very vocal about his relationship with a Boston priest.
Yes.
Okay. So it's like, oh, okay. So that's kind of why they think that it might be Mark Wahlberg.
Oh no. Oh yeah. No. Oh man. Page Six made things messy.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of their fault. I mean, yeah, you guys, you gave us too much information. We were going to figure it out.
Now, here's the thing, is that Mark Wahlberg is married to Reed Durham.
Mm-hmm.
And fans found, you know, kind of did a little digging on their own, realized that at the 2006 Golden Globes, he made an appearance with Reed Durham, who was pregnant at the time. They had not been married at that time yet. But is that who, you know, was that who Mark was with when trying to do a little side thing with Jessica Simpson?
Dogs. What a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always gotten that vibe from Mark Wahlberg, is that he is not a humble individual. Like, he's hot. He knows it. He's famous. He knows it. He's rich and influential, and he knows it. So
he's Marky Mark.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. That totally checks out with like a teenage fantasy. Because I'm like, how old is Mark? Oh, well, yeah, Marky Mark. That would definitely be, yep, the Calvin Klein ads. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, now obviously it hasn't been confirmed by either one, but I guess doing a little digging and, you know, timelines and such and photos, you can make pretty good case that Jessica Simpson might be talking about Mark Wahlberg. Will she ever come out and admit it, or at least reveal it? Who knows? Maybe she will this week on Twitter, be like, you nailed it. I don't know.
Right.
But we'll have to watch and see if that's who it actually is, or if she's ever going to reveal who it is. We'll see.
I don't know. If I was in one of those situations, I don't know if I would publicly admit to anything before I had a conversation with the other party, like the wife.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like this like Summer Stroh with Adam Levine.
Yeah.
It's like you came out to talk about this for clout, like if it was true or not, like you still did it this way for clout, because I think that especially if you both are well-known celebrities, you need to go and at least attempt some sort of communication and say, hey, it was 20 years ago, it was a long time ago, but I wanted to be honest that this did happen.
Yeah. And who knows, you know what, maybe she just wants to just let us see if we can figure it out, and secretly she's like, oh, they're right, or nope, they don't have it right. Maybe it's just something we just never even suspected. I don't know. I have to go through a bunch of photos from the 2001 VMAs and see if there was anyone else wearing a jeans and t-shirt at the award show.
You know, I did read a theory that it was Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, well, because he did Dukes of was he in Dukes of Hazzard with her?
Yes. Yes, he was.
Now, see, I would think it'd be better. Now, to me, that just seems like, really?
Oh, my God. Stop. I would pick Johnny Knoxville over Mark Wahlberg any day of the week. When I first got glasses, like when I needed glasses for the very first time, I got the Johnny Knoxville black Ray-Ban glasses because I loved him. I still do. I love Johnny Knoxville, but he wasn't wearing jeans. He wears like Dickies, trousers and not like jeans. I mean, he does wear jeans, but I think most of those appearances.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. We're going to keep an eye on that one and just see if we actually confirm who it is.
Yeah,
I don't know. I want to know. All right, moving on to our wuss story. Charlotte, you were telling me about this right before we went on to record the podcast. And I missed this one, but apparently something had happened with Keanu Reeves and someone else that caused a restraining order.
Oh, yeah. Keanu Reeves has had to get a temporary restraining order against some dude who's been stalking him and trespassing on his property since November. He's broken in and trespassed over 6 times, even fell asleep in his backyard in early November. Yeah, just took a cat nap in Keanu Reeves' backyard. He's also left a backpack on the property, which, as we know, is a very scary situation because a lot of things can be hidden in a backpack, an explosive device, some sort of weapon. I mean, it could be very, very dangerous. So he, had to call the cops to have it assessed. Very interesting contents of the backpack. A DNA test. Because this dude, his name is Brian Dixon, and he thinks he is a blood relative of Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
He has renamed himself Jasper Keith Reeves. And has claimed on social media for the longest time that they are blood relatives and he's going to prove it because he wants to sign away any legal rights he has over himself to Keanu to have Keanu Reeves take care of him for the rest of his life. He's 38 years old, by the way.
Oh, so did he provide any other proof other than he just believes that he's a blood relative? Like, is there like... his mom's cousin's second removed aunt and
absolutely nothing.
Oh, okay.
Nope. He's just said, I mean, the rants have been so concerning. Like, it's very evident that this man is just very mentally ill and needs help.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's trespassed, like I said, over 6 times. Just
oof.
Sliding in through the side gate, climbing the fence in the backyard. I mean, it's the weirdest. It is the strangest thing. I mean, and Keanu's legal team has said, like, this dude is a complete stranger, that they don't know anything about him except doing their investigation as thoroughly as they can. They've seen that this dude has a rap sheet that is like a CVS receipt. Goes back 2 decades of breaking and entering, burglary, vandalism. And all of these are like, they range from misdemeanors to full-blown felonies.
Wow.
So, yeah, he does have a restraining order that was granted for him and for his partner. So he won't be able to be within 100 yards of the two.
See, I feel like that should be more, like 100 yards.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that far. I mean, you can still see someone 100 yards away. It almost feels like, you know what, you need to stay at least a mile from this person.
Oh, 100%. I agree. I mean, especially because, I mean, the most recent attempt to get to Keanu was January 20th. Like, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has been persistent, you know, over 3 months of trying to get to Keanu Reeves. And who knows, like, what's going to happen if he did, for, you know, God forbid, end up in Keanu's home. You know, he might tie them up. He might, you know, cut him to get his blood.
Look, let me stop you right there. You forget who Keanu Reeves is.
I mean, yeah,
he is John Wick. If anything, I'm more worried about the guy trying to break into Keanu's home. Okay, I've seen what Keanu can do, and John Wick. I honestly, you know, and Keanu looks like he does most of his own stunts in that film.
That is true.
He obviously knows how to hit. I mean, if you ever seen his weapon training video for those films, like, zombie apocalypse happening, I'm calling Keanu Reeves. Like, dude. Yeah,
I'm going to team up with
Brian
Dixon. You
obviously know your way around a rifle and how to make sure that you are accurate. You're on our team, mister.
I could see that. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I could see that. You're probably right. He probably would be able to handle himself. But yeah.
But still, it is a very scary situation.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I don't want to search the guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like, I don't know. I would really like to know, like, where he got this delusion that he's related. He's related.
Well, I mean, if you look at other instances where celebrities have to get, you know, warrants and restraining orders against other fans. We talked about this in our last episode, as far as, you know, they letting people in and making them feel like they're a part. And also, too, it's just you know, someone with some kind of mental illness, and somehow they gravitate toward that one celebrity, and just something in their mind makes them believe that they're a blood relative, or they're best friends, or they need to be married to this celebrity, that because somebody told them that they need to be, or it's meant to be, whatever it is. And I think that with celebrities, you know, obviously wanting to interact with the fans, have to be careful of how much they allow them to cross that line, or you know, there's got to be some kind of boundary there.
Yeah.
So, but you can listen to that, their previous episode. We talked more about that in that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so listen to that one after you're done with this one to listen to more about that conversation if you're interested.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree. It's a scary situation, and hopefully this goes away. It doesn't escalate into the man trying to get Keanu's blood or whatever he needs to get the DNA test done, because there will be some very, very hard consequences if the man decides to break that restraining order.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Weekly Trash Recap Podcast. We recap and discuss some of the big entertainment stories from the week. Make sure you subscribe, because we drop new episodes every Tuesday and recapping some of the big entertainment stories from the week. You can listen to our podcast at b1029.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. For Joe, or actually for Shyler, I'm Joe from B1029. I always feel like I'm going to mess that up every single time. Yeah. For Shyler, I'm Joe from B1029. We'll talk to you again next week.